Hallelujah. Well, how many of you know what's starting this week? What's starting this week? Connect groups. You get it? Hey, hallelujah. Oh, by the way, how many of Bible school students do we have? Raise your hand. You enjoy the first week of Bible school? I can't wait till October when I teach faith. Amen. But anyway, glory, our Connect groups are starting this week, and Pastor Mike already announced that. But I want to talk to you this morning about the usefulness and purpose of Connect groups and really what it means to mature in the body of Christ. Now, I grew up in church. Of course, we didn't, you know, church setting is all we knew at the time. But back in our day, more of the families were, I don't know, it was just different. We did house-to-house things. It wasn't an organized, what we'd call small groups, but it was just something that the church people did. They got together and they fellowshiped together, and we had enchilada dinners. How many of you like to go to an enchilada dinner? Out here you have spaghetti dinners, but out west we had Mexican food. Hallelujah. And I remember those things growing up as a boy, and every, you know, people just, community. And that's what we really want to talk about today. And five basic ways to grow in Christianity. And a lot of you have been saved, born again for a number of years now. And we know a lot of these things. I'm preaching to the choir, but some of you don't know some of these things. It's very important. About committing, five ways. And the word commitment means to carry into action or carries a decision into action deliberately. A decision. There are quality decisions that we need to make for ourselves and for our families, and many of you have. We've seen children growing up in the church represented here and over generations, and praise God for that. But the number one thing is to be committed to Christ. In this day and age, we have to, how many of you are committed to Christ already? Say, amen, I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you're saved by the blood. Number two is be committed to a church family. A church family. And just to talk about that for a moment, when Pastor Judy and I moved back here, we didn't come after any denomination. We had asked a denomination if we could come because I was licensed through Assemblies of God. And we had written a letter when we were in California. And to come, we felt a pull to come back to Massachusetts. And so we wrote a letter to the authorities over that denomination. And they wrote back and said, I don't know the letter. I probably kind of got upset and threw it away. But anyways, the gist of it, we don't need churches. You know, so that was a slap in the face. So, you know, that doesn't change God. So Pastor Judy and I, what's so wonderful about being back here 40 years that we had no denominational backing. We were kids. We knew nothing on how to start a church because I was out of a denominational church where everything was pretty much planned for you. Sunday school lessons and everything, you know, you had everything there to equip you. So we came back here with a little U-Haul trailer. You've seen the picture of that. And started our ministry. And it was in the house. Our first ushers would stand out and smoke and greet people. I mean, coming back, you know, you didn't fill your church up with, you know, church people because they hadn't been churched. So we started back here when there was no computers, when, you know, there were really, I don't even know the cable TV that much back here at that time. We didn't have it anyway. And so this is what we started in. And so we started out in a home group setting and with Dunkin' Donuts. That's where I gained all my weight. I was introduced to Dunkin' Donuts. They brought them in by the dozens. Amen. Hallelujah. And so being committed to a church family, that means a binding together of a church family. People, God does not want lone rangers out there or renegades out there doing their kind of own thing. And it's so easy to call yourself a pastor, but unless you're really called of God, I would not recommend you trying it. I would not recommend, unless you have a call of God on your life. Well, that's my vocation. I want to be, that's, I want that. No, it has to be more than a job to you. Because the enemy is on your doorstep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? And I'm saying all that is because that there's something dynamic about a church family. We're a living word, and it's awesome that we are celebrating 40 years where the biggest thing that we heard when we started our church back in 1982 was, you know, pastors come and they stay for a year and they leave. That was the number one thing. And people were hesitant coming to a church where it was new. I mean, from California, Pastor Ed and Judy, how long are you going to be here? Can we trust bringing our families? Can we trust devoting our lives and whatever? And so that mentality was going on back here in New England when we started our church at that time. So we had to commit as pastors that this is forever. And you ask, did you want to quit? Yes. Often. Okay? There were many opportunities to quit. We had offers from prominent prophet that came through. Mighty man of God. He said, Ed and Judy, you could go out west and have 500 people in your congregation. And I'll help you do it. Tempting? Yeah. Especially during that season in our life. So we had to commit to staying as pastors. And, you know, did you have people get upset at you and reasons, you know, what? Yeah, you go through everything. How many of you have been in church long enough? You know that you have imperfect people. And you have a lot of attitude. Right? So you get to the point. Pastor Judy and I was talking about something this morning. I said, you know, honey, we are old enough to not worry about what people think anymore. You know, we used to be bothered by that, but I mean, who cares, man? If I want to wear my Crocs and preach in my Crocs, I'll wear my Crocs. Not that I would. That wouldn't be cool. Amen. So you need to be committed to where God plants you. And God plants us in the church and environment that we're supposed to be in. All right? Number three, committed to yourself and to the word and prayer. Committing yourself to the word and prayer. Amen? Staying in the word of God, feeding upon the word of God. It's more important now than ever before. And then what I want to get to is committing ourselves to a small group. What we call them here is connect groups. Why? Because God uses your God-given talent to serve him and others. Amen? To serve him and others. And so our connect groups, folks, are a way for people to engage in a biblical community that helps them become more like Jesus. I like to say simply, we share and care for one another. Back before 2020 hit on our connect groups were going, I remember for a season, it's hard for a pastor to house something like that, but we did for, you know, several semesters over in Brockton. And there's just something that you get in a connect group, a small group, that you don't get in church. Church is a time that we come and we celebrate. We celebrate people who have been won to the Lord. Amen? We have an evangelistic team that goes out. And it needs to be a time. We get our worship team. But then a small group comes together and we share and we care for one another. I remember some great testimonies out of those small groups, not just the one we were leading, but I know Pastor Mike and Lori, they were leading one, and other people in our church were having connect groups. And, you know, the one important thing, it wasn't so much the content of the lesson, but it was more community. It was more fellowshipping and getting to know one another. especially when we have two services here and people really don't connect, you know, you don't see one another, and it's hard to get close to one another. We're in and out, and some people, you know, if you're a worker in the church, then you have more opportunity to rub elbows with other people, and that's like, you know, our harvest, our trunk or treat coming up, an opportunity for people to get together and have fun, and we have other times and seasons of that. But a small group, they get together and they care for one another. They pray for one another. Amen? They feel each other's burdens. We encourage one another. And that's what's so important and different about a small group. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I know it's talking about Adam needing to help meet, and God created Eve to help him. But God said this in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, before we went on vacation, we talked about the importance of the strength of a threefold cord, all right? It's not easily broken, all right? There's strength in that. The more strands of people that you get, the stronger that is. And if you're trying to get through situations in your life by yourself, and that's the number one thing that people do when they get under stress or things come against them, they fall out of fellowship for whatever reason. Maybe they are private. But listen, we're here for one another. I spent 3 weeks on teaching, or 3 or 4 weeks on love before I left on vacation. And it's so important that we care for one another. Turn to the person next to you and say, I care about you. Husbands and wives said, yeah, right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Jesus. You know, he ministered to the multitudes, but how many men did he have around him? 12 that he poured himself into. Billy Graham said this, and how many of you remember Billy Graham's ministry? Powerful. Amen. He ministered to presidents. And in fact, I heard this week that it was Billy Graham that actually led Queen Elizabeth to the Lord. Amen. So God did raise him up. But he said this, if he could do it all over again, he would get 12 guys and pour his life into them. If he could do it all over again, he'd get 12 guys and pour his life into them. And that's why small groups are so important, because caring, sharing with one another, and there's a momentum that takes place within that small group where if something happens, devil attack, man, glory to God. It's a team. Amen? We're a big team, but we need made up of small teams. That's what it's all about. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the Passion Translation says this. It says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Okay, that's prayer in reading the Word of God and listening to the men and women of God that God put in charge, the apostles at that time. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Look at this. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Now, look at this part. Daily, say daily, they met together. They didn't do Zoom calls. We tried Zoom Connect groups for a couple times, didn't we? And they just didn't have the feel. You know, honestly, I don't like Zoom stuff. I just don't like. I'd rather talk to somebody on the phone than Zoom. I don't know. It's just me. Hallelujah. But daily they met together in the temple courts, and where does it say they met? In one another's homes. So here's a picture of a big gathering, a large gathering, a Sunday morning gathering. And then it says also they met in one another's homes. One thing about a connect group in a home, it keeps your house clean. How many have ever had company just come over and you have to do last minute cleaning, right? Just hope they don't look in the closet. Hallelujah. But okay, we see whether they were together in each other's homes to celebrate communion, to celebrate Jesus. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. I like that translation. Those who were once dead, they're coming to life. Glory to God. Because of the church meeting together daily, going to house, breaking bread, amen? Inviting neighbors, glory to God. People that you wouldn't normally be able to get into church and the church atmosphere, maybe they'll come to your home. Amen. And especially if they know that you are a man or woman of God and that God answers your prayers. Everybody has a season in their life where they need someone to pray for them. And that is a great opportunity. How many of you have witnessed that? You've just been available and God has sent people to you because you're a man or woman of prayer. Amen. So the Barna poll a few years ago, I don't have a real current one, but 44% of why people go to church is to get close to God. There is that drawing in the heart of man that hungers after God. And unfortunately, it gets, you know, sidetracked after things, cares of this world, or after other gods, and so on and so forth. But there is that hunger that God puts in mankind that draws them to someone bigger than themselves. So, and 27% want to learn about God. 22% come because of the community and fellowship. So there is a lot of people that come to church because they need to be loved. And one thing about this church that I hear over and over and over again, that they said, you know, when I walked in the door, I was greeted by such a loving person. Come on, greeters, give yourself a hand. Amen. Not just one, but multiple people. You know, I felt so much love. When you came to the church, did you witness it? How many of you witnessed that, the love of God in our church? Not about religion. It's about fellowship, about loving one another. And so this is an opportunity in a small group to get to know, to bond with one another, and really to begin to be a family outside. You know, sometimes our spiritual family can be closer than our natural family. Wow. Think about that. And a lot of times when there's a critical situation, you don't want your natural family there when you are in an emergency situation. You want people of faith, people that will speak the word of God, and people that will, you know. We see that in the Gospels. Jesus had to throw out people when he wanted to raise somebody from the dead. Get out of here, you know. I've come to give life and life more abundantly. So that's one thing. Another thing that happens in a small group, there's just that unity of the faith, unity of believing for one another. If any two shall gather, what does the Bible say? I'm in the midst of them. And he goes on to say, Matthew 18:19, if any two shall agree on earth as touching any one thing, shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. So we don't find identity in social media, but we find identity when we're with God and with fellow believers. Amen? And we need to pray that, you know, how many of you know that social media is bad if you can't control it? If you can't control it. I mean, there's a good side to it and there's a bad side to it. But young people, if you're here, you know, limit your time on social media. Don't let that define you. Amen? Be involved with people. People. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't know how to do job interviews anymore because everything's online. There's no face-to-face communication. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to communicate by text and by all this. I know we do it, but you can't see the emotions on the face of that person who's communicating with you. Amen? You can't pick up the vibes. There's something spirit to spirit. So we need to touch one another. And really, look at the early church as a model. Acts chapter 1. The church with birth with how many believers? This is a test. 120, right? 120 believers started out. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Our next chapter, 3,000 were added to their number. 3,000 people were added to their number. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church, to their number daily, every day, every day. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, and the number of men grew to about 5,000 people. And, you know, the commentator says with women and children, that was about 15,000 people that the church grew. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to see that multiplication? We could turn Massachusetts around if the churches would operate under this system, this dynamic. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. So, Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and the Passion Translation says this, nothing stopped them. I like that. Nothing stopped them. We have things that try to stop us from coming to church, or prayer meeting, or Bible study, or connect group. Always something the enemy tries to put in the way. But there's nothing stopped them. They kept preaching every day in the temple courts and went from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus, the anointed one. Paul said this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God unto salvation. Nothing can deliver people. Nothing can change people like the gospel can. Amen? They can read self-help books. They can do anything but getting around the presence of the Lord. Amen? Coming into contact with Him and His goodness, understanding, hearing the message of salvation, turning their lives over to Jesus, being discipled. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what was happening in the New Testament church. And we're a New Testament church. We are. We're a word and faith church. We're a word and spirit church. And if any growth, like the book of Acts, it needs to be happening here. Well, you know, Massachusetts, you know. Well, you know, you look at the bigger churches. They preach a social gospel. That's why I'll never preach a social gospel. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to introduce you to the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, the glory. I'll never be satisfied. Well, you know, years ago, seeker friendly was a big thing. Or now they call them woke churches. They've changed it from seeker friendly to woke churches. But we're not a woke church, all right? We're a church that is awake with a demonstration of the power of God. And listen, it's the same way. The DNA of the church corporately will be in our connect groups corporately. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember way back when we started, we were in Brockton, and way back early in the early days of our growth groups. I don't know what we call them at that time. Amen. But was it always growth groups before connect groups or something like that? I don't know. But I remember I was leading one, and I had to go to these people's houses. It was vaguely, but there was this young man that parents came to church, but he was kind of a renegade. He was kind of a messed up and rebellious. But I remember that night, I don't know what the lesson was or anything, but I remember we were in an upstairs apartment and the glory of God fell. Power of God hit that young man on the floor. Connect group! And it changed his life. He became a witness for Jesus, a bold witness for Christ. Hallelujah. So see, an encounter with Jesus just doesn't happen in a corporate setting, a church like this, but also from house to house where people can be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Rick Warren wrote this, a dual strategy of large group worship and a small group fellowship is the biblical strategy and structure for the church, not just then, and we've been reading about the book of Acts, but for today. So we have the large group worship, we have our worship team, we have the anointing, and it's exciting when we come together. But during the week, then we come together and we meet in houses across the area, amen, different towns, different communities, and God does his work in that setting also, and probably in a greater way, amen, because there's interaction. There's interaction. Hallelujah. You can talk to one another. See, if you try to talk to me now, I'll tell you to be quiet in Jesus' name. Because I'm preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. But in a connect group, you have discussion time. You hear the word, you have discussion time, you have prayer time together, you pray for one another's needs. Hallelujah. And just things change. So powerful. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just another scripture here. We're going to end with this. Romans chapter 16. This is later on in the New Testament church, and verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul says, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my workers in the ministry of Christ. In fact, they once risked their lives for me, and I'm thankful for them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Amen. And then it goes on to, he ends his letter, or greeting. In other words, to the various churches in the New Testament. So we see that big congregations gather together. Amen. And we're not a mega church. But even, you know, it would be my, no matter how big, you know, some people will want to stop church growth because they lose the feeling of that small group. Well, I don't know, you know, I don't know everybody's name. Well, there's not any of you that knows everybody's name. Amen. But we can't stop that from growing. We need to grow because the bigger that we grow, the bigger impact we have in this area. Amen? So we need to grow as a congregation, but you need to also think small group, connect group. So we already told you about sign-up sheets. You can do it online. We have physical paper out there that you can sign up. Also for connect group, find out where they are. Maybe you don't have one in your area. I don't know if it's too late to get going if you want to house one or not, but you can talk to someone in the back with our experience team. And, you know, we're kicking this thing off. We haven't been doing it since before 2020. Well, that hit, and we had to stop all the connect groups. But we're getting them going, and they're going to be successful. Say successful. We're going to see God glorified. Amen. As our people meet together, we're going to expect great testimonies. Hallelujah. And listen, you can be a growth, a connect group leader. Amen. You can facilitate one in your home if you don't want to lead one. And there's all kinds of ways. And we'll be talking, you know, this is a semester that we're just starting this week, but we're going to keep going. We have a little break during Christmas time and our holidays because we're busy around here. But it's something that we keep going all year long. Amen. So you can get involved in. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand with me this morning. Amen. Now let's lift up our hands and praise Jesus.